fucking piece of shit.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody.
So goddamn loud.
I know. Comes naturally. Do a couple things. Help us out. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle is
at Comes Natural Pod.
Facebook. iTunes. LinkedIn. Do we have a LinkedIn page?
I don't think we have a LinkedIn. I mean, individually, we have LinkedIn one. Pages.
Not one, but we have each one.
You guys share a LinkedIn page? Do you invite me?
No.
It's getting awkward. I guess start us off proper, Cody.
Someone's got to. Comes naturally, we are.
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Welcome back, everybody. I know it doesn't seem like it, but we haven't recorded in a while.
Actually, two weeks ago.
We've recorded.
I meant we, the group
haven't recorded in a while. Two people are still a group.
Still technically is a group.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know. Anyways, today's episode is all Captain America stuff.
We're back.
Okay, so on today's episode, we're going to do two things. First, we're going to go over our top three superhero movies.
Of all time.
Of all time. Then, we're going to go over what we speculate to happen in Captain America Civil War.
So by the time
you're hearing this...
It would have been out.
Would have been out. You might have not have seen it, because some people don't go until Sundays.
Some people don't go the first weekend, which is weird to me.
Which is dumb. I'm going to spoil all it for you.
Yeah. All of
it. We're going to give you a week, and then we're going to ruin it for everybody.
Everybody going to get ruined.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, Michael.
Yep.
Would you like Joe to start with the top three list? Joe, what's your number three?
Number three?
We'll go 3-3-3-2-2-2-1-1-1.
The Shadow.
Oh, I love it.
Right? Mm. I know a lot of people don't like it.
Fuck
I know it's kind of a campy-ish type.
Are you cheating off his list?
He's cheating off my list.
I know Shadow's listed in the middle.
That's because it was in the order that I was thinking at the time.
He does that.
Well, I had to come up with it on the spot.
I mean, it's only three, so I guess you could.
I was like, that one movie, and then the other movie, and then the
I like
other
how
movie.
You just told everybody we don't put any prep work into the show. It was on the spot, so I had
some of us come up.
Some of us have exams that they have to study for.
Sure.
And
play The Division.
And play The Division. And get myself ganked by fucking...
Douchebags.
Douchebags.
I don't know if ganked would have been the proper word to use. Because it sounded like yanked, but...
I want you to work that into more conversations.
Yeah, so ganked. I was walking the dark, so I got ganked the other day.
Would it be fair that I said that I got into some sort of fight?
No,
that didn't involve, like, you know, clicking ganging? and West Side Story fucking...
Oh, that's good little... Yeah, I'll give it to you.
Yep. Worked it in.
In the butt.
So The Shadow, to me, it was just a really fantastic, awesome movie all around. I love the character The Shadow when they started the new run on The Shadow comic a while ago.
Dynamite
did it. It was a really good comic. Just an interesting sort of Batman-esque character, and a really good call back to the when was he originally created? The 1940s, something like that.
Yeah, way
back in the radio days.
The pulp series stuff.
And it's just a really good movie. I like it.
Cody, your numero tres.
Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi run, not the Amazing Spider-Man.
That's why you said Spider-Man 2, not
Amazing Spider-Man 2. Some people get confused, like, oh, it's called Amazing Spider-Man 2, fat idiot. No, Spider-Man 2, the Sam Raimi one. That's what they call me, apparently, in my head. That movie's fucking amazing. Like, really.
Poor choice of words. Now people are going to be like, which one is he talking about again?
What?
Because I said fucking amazing and Amazing Spider-Man 2. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, because it's the joke. Because all around, like, I mean, for the long time, it was like the highest grossing for a reason, because it was fucking awesome. Is that better?
Mm.
No amazing that time?
Yeah.
It was just like the Doc Ock was amazingly done on screen, because he's kind of a goofy character in the most part.
They got a good actor to play.
Alfred Molina.
Yeah, like, come on, follow up your role in Indiana Jones with Spider-Man 2? Come on now.
It's funny because at the time, wasn't he doing more classical theater stuff?
Theater stuff.
And then suddenly he's Doc Ock in Spider-Man.
Which, yeah, super you're like, weird.
Okay, I guess this could work. But then he has that correct look to him.
Yeah, he looks so good. And it's funny because he doesn't look like Doc Ock would normally, like you normally see him in the comics. But the way they made him, like, oh, no, that's Doc Ock.
Yeah.
Goggles are super dope. The tentacles are fucking badass.
They had my favorite scene of that movie is when they're doing the surgery thing, like trying to remove it.
And the arms are slowly.
And they do that old, kind of Hitchcocky, zoom in on the claws as it jumps up. And it just felt like a nice, homage to all the old time scary movies. And then just they wreaked havoc right after that.
Just throwing people around the room. Yeah. And lifting his slumped off body, because he's not really awake because he's all drugged out. And they just walk out. The scene I always think of to show off how badass they made him was the bank scene when he robs the bank, because he comes just walking in on the tentacles and he's like just rips money bags, like just rips the door right off the fucking hinges. You're like, yeah, Doc Ock fucking shit up.
Mm.
So that's
it's weird. As good as I always think of part two, I immediately start thinking of part three and it's like, ooh.
Yeah,
you know, it's like hey.
Sometimes when the guys who have the money start digging their hands in it.
I think Sam Raimi has a big part in that too, though, because he wanted to have all these characters.
No, he did not.
Oh, he talked about it on the Nerdist. He thought it would be exciting to have all these characters in.
Yeah, then he couldn't. Then they forced him to do what they want him to do, and he's like, "Well, can't do what I want him to do."
Because he didn't like Venom. He didn't like the symbiote.
No.
So he didn't want to do that, but that was where they forced him to do it.
Because fans like Venom.
It became a shitty movie.
Instead of just making it a Venom movie.
Yeah.
Which they easily could have done.
Yeah.
But
They forced him into doing what he wanted. They wanted him. He's like, well, I guess I have to.
He wanted the Sandman, right?
No, he wanted Sandman, Green Goblin, Mysterio, and one other one.
Yeah. But...
it was all about Peter.
That's funny. It sounds like it's starting to become a Sinister Six...
That's where he wanted to go.
Movie. Yeah. Mm. Weird.
But that wouldn't have been good either, though.
No.
Too much.
If it was something that he would have enjoyed doing, it might have been actually something pretty good.
Could have been. I don't know.
We'll never know.
That's my number three.
As much as...
who's number two?
I kind of hate... I don't hate those movies. I like those movies. But every time I watch it, I can't get over how much I dislike... the actor who played Spider-Man.
Tobey Maguire?
Yeah, I don't like Tobey Maguire at all.
I thought that he played it pretty well.
He did okay.
Up until the third one.
But it's like, emo fucking Peter Parker. It was the worst.
Made no sense whatsoever.
With fucking jazzy snap hands. Yeah. Is that the studio's fault too?
No, that's the same Randy trying to fuck with somebody. He's just like,
you won't let me do it.
Here you go. Here you go, Spider-Man walking down the street.
This is what emo people Spider-Man do, right? Emo stuff.
If he had his way, he would have West Side Story the shit out of it too.
He would have
little
dance fight scenes.
Yep. Oh yeah,
that dance fight. But I never really enjoyed. He did, like I said, he did okay, but I don't. Maybe it's just a personal dislike of Tobey Maguire. But I feel like.
Well, the question would be: do you like him in anything else that he's done? To be honest, I can't think of any other movies that he's really done, but he's done other ones. I'm just literally, I can't think
of anything. Seabiscuit. Isn't that? Not the horse. He was the guy who rode the horse.
That'd be awful.
He was in DiCaprio version of Gatsby.
Yeah, didn't see it.
That was a newer one. Not new one, but it's the newest Gatsby.
I guess I really don't like anything he's in.
He's never been like, Tobey Maguire movie, let's go see that. You know what I mean? I've never done that.
Yeah, but he's also never been, like, there's not a thing that he does. Like, if you say Liam Neeson, I'm like, oh, it's going to be an action movie.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, he doesn't have that.
Yeah, he doesn't have that thing.
Tentpole thing that you go after.
Yeah.
So anyway, Spider-Man 2 is mine because it was awesome. Michael, what is your number three?
Number three, there's nothing he's done that I liked. He did one episode of Walker, Texas Ranger. That's close, right?
No, not really.
Nope. My number three is going to be Iron Man 3.
Ooh. Iron Man Trace.
Yeah.
For the Spanish listeners.
Which is a lot of people's least favorite Marvel movie.
Not three, not for me.
No, that's a lot of people.
Yeah. By far, if you ask people what's the worst, they'll point at Iron Man 3.
Hmm.
They're like, there's not enough Iron Man in it.
Yeah, but it was a character story.
It was fun. It was kiss, kiss, bang, bang with superheroes, and I fucking loved that so much. So
yeah.
That was the first time they did something different before doing something different. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It was the first time they took a superhero movie and said something slightly different. Like, the formula was changed, but not like, hey, we're going to make this a, you know, slasher comedy movie.
I think it was Robert Downey Jr.'s best acting, obviously, because a lot of what he does in the Iron Man, obviously, is just, you know, close-up shot of his face. And
a black background with flashy lights in front of his face.
But this one, like, they didn't really... There's a lot of action, but there's a lot of action of him without the suit. Dude, like, a ton of it without the suit.
The interaction with the kid that he has is fucking hilarious. Yeah, the kid's
fantastic. It's not like that typical fucking, you know, kid-adult relationship where there's, like, a weird attachment. And, like, obviously there's a fondness between the two of them, but they're busting each other's balls the whole time. So it's... It's funny. It
sounds awful.
Yeah, talk about bad things I say. Jeez.
Phrasing.
Yeah. But yeah, it's that one.
Fair enough.
Michael's number three. So Joe, number two.
Iron Man, actually. It was just a really good retelling of his origin story, you know, updating it because the original one happened when Vietnam was going around. Yeah, and it crippled there. But yeah, no, just from beginning to end, it was one of the most fantastic superhero movies that has ever been done, I would say. And a really good, I know it wasn't the first movie in Marvel's
pantheon
of
it was their
of this Marvel universe, because technically wasn't it
the Incredible Hulk.
But I would consider
Iron Man was their first.
This would be the starting point.
Iron Man came before Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Because Tony was in it. But the original plan was Incredible Hulk was first, and then they had a bunch of issues.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to distance themselves from that fucking piece of shit they had made before.
Ang Lee one, yeah.
Yeah. But Iron Man was their first, like, out the gate movie. And it was actually supposed to be the third, because Ant Man was supposed to be one of the first ones.
Yeah.
And they're like, no one's going to watch an Ant-Man movie.
Right.
Oops.
Oops. Yeah, Talking Raccoon.
What? No one would have watched it at first, though.
Oh, no, not back then, though.
No.
No, you needed all of what happened beforehand for people to even give that a shot.
Yeah.
Mainly because no one who knows who the fuck Ant-Man is.
Right. They're
like, is he part ant and part,
part
man?
Yeah.
Not that. Yeah, it's weird. So, I get that. Yeah. Iron Man definitely set the pace for what was expected from superhero movies. It was like that no holds barred rock and roll type thing, whereas like, and then like two emphasized that even more.
Yeah.
To me, three did it even more so, like, with that whole, like, the third act of that whole fucking of that movie, just like was what you expected to them to end Iron Man's story with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, fuck it, bring them all in. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Let's, and when he's like jumping and goes
from
into
suit
one
to
suit,
suit. Yeah,
and it gets blown up, and he falls into, oh, it's so
like
badass.
One suit catches him, and he flies up, and then ejects himself out of that one, and that one goes and, you know, fights something else. Yeah, it's fantastic. But you wouldn't have, I mean, obviously you can't have the third one without the first one, but you wouldn't have that attitude and that bravado that they built without the first one,
because
they did such good job building that character, and of course they got the perfect actor to play.
Oh, they did,
and in our opinion, he's by far the best person they could have even ever got.
He's in talks to continue doing it as well.
Yeah, he's always in talks to do it. Now he's saying he wants to do it.
Yeah, I think he should. But
feigning, well, I guess I could do a fourth one then. If
you know, you really like it, Robert. You know,
come on, you're getting paid a shit ton of money. Plus, anything else he does really isn't that great, because The Judge, not good. Was that one he did with Fat Jesus?
Oh, it's the one where
Due date, yeah, where his wife's the preggers. Yeah, no, that was a good one. It was just like those, like, he has those ones, you know. I'd like to see him team up with Shane Black again for something fun.
Yeah. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Because Val Kilmer is probably not.
Bang, bang, bang.
Yeah. Everyone was alive. We made fun of it, but everyone's alive.
Yeah.
I don't think you could do a sequel, though, because that movie, That's the best movie that nobody ever talks about.
It's true.
You know what Except I mean? Like, yeah, well, we talk about it because we're... Have you even seen it?
Yeah. I've seen it a long time ago, yeah.
Okay. Because it's one of my favorite movies of all time, hence why Iron Man 3 is one of my top three comic book movies of all time. Superhero movies, yeah. That made my list because, I don't know, there's something about Shane Black as a director. Like, he luts the... you know, the dialogue and everything, just like, it's just well done, and it's always unique and it's always funny. Like, there's no matter what's going on, there's a twist of humor into it,
even when he does the science stuff.
Yeah, so it's good stuff. My favorite part of as we were talking Iron Man, my favorite part of Iron Man 3 though, when you talk about like Robert Downey Jr.'s like attitude and his personality showing through. I think the best one quick little scene where you get to do it is him and Rhodey before he gets the suits back when they're trying to save the president and there's bad guys coming. And Robert Downey Jr. just looks over the thing that they're hiding behind real quick, looks, comes back, and Rhodey's like, "What you see?" He's like, "I don't know, it's too fast, I didn't see anything." And then Rhodey jumps up, does it, but about the same time, okay, there's three on the left and four on the right or whatever. And I was like, That's fantastic. Like, you can't...
It's classically like, what you would have thought. Or, like, even we watched the trailer for Captain America Civil War today, and it was expanded, that fight scene between him and Winter Soldier. And you see when he takes the top of the gun off, he has that smile like, oh, yeah, I did it.
Yeah. And then he gets his ass kicked. Slaps him with the fucking barrel.
Yeah.
He's like, bitch, and then he gets fucking punched in the chest. And
yeah.
That's ballsy of Stark, though, to go in with basically just the
cool partial glove. Yeah.
It wasn't a full power or anything.
Shoots the shockwave. And he goes in fist to fist against Winter Soldier, who's
going to
outmatch him.
way overmatched for a
Super Soldier with a metal arm, yeah.
A metal arm? That's awesome, dude.
So that's my number two.
Yeah, number two. My number two, Captain America, Winter Soldier.
Good, strong choice.
Yes, because, goddamn.
The best spy movie ever,
too. It hits a bunch of things. But it's, like, it hits one of the best comic book movies ever made, one of the best action thrillers ever made, one of the best spy movies ever made. Like, it's fantastic the way, I mean, just, obviously, like, gets you really excited. Like, Cap 1 was fun, but like, it was a different type of movie than
the war movie.
Yeah, then Winter Soldier,
it was a period war movie, so
Winter Soldier just like stepped it up so far. Like, it's just like, hey, remember that like movie you guys love when they all fought each other and it was cool, right? And then they became a team, blah blah blah. Fuck that, look at this thing. And it's like, it's all different. It's like they team up still, you know, Cap's got his many Avengers, and then they're going after Bucky, and Bucky's like, nah, I don't remember you, fuck you. And then like, he's a badass, and he's he's got his own little team of mercenaries, and they're like, this dude is ready to rock. Like,
the set pieces were just absolutely amazing. The fighting from hover carrier to hover carrier.
Yeah, like, it was fucking
absolutely awesome there.
The whole like Nick Fury road chase scene ends in fucking Fury getting blowed up.
Yep.
My favorite thing about that movie is Chris Evans is great. Like, he's fantastic, but I think that was already kind of established like going into it.
Yeah, and Fantastic Four,
gross. And but Scarlett Johansson and Samuel L. Jackson really getting a chance to actually act and perform a little bit in this one for really the first time. Mm-hmm. Like, everything else had just been quick stuff. Like, it felt like that was the first movie where the director like shot a take with Sam Jackson and was like, okay, that was good, try it another way, you know, because there's more depth and layers to his character in this one,
right?
Which is obviously written in story wise but it's performed a lot more seriously, I think. And then Scarlett Johansson is amazing in it. Like, after watching that, you're like, okay, when do we get a Black Widow movie? Because she
apparently
needs,
never.
Yeah.
Which is a mistake.
It's a shame because there's so much.
Or give her a Netflix show, like make that the tie-in between the two of them or something. But
I just don't think that she would stick around long enough.
She's in the prime. Like, she's like literally in the prime of making movies. Like,
yeah,
she's starting to like headline stuff that's not garbage. Yeah, but I mean, I'm saying Ghost in the Shell could be complete fucking garbage, but she's getting those.
But she's not going to take a TV series role where it's going to take a huge chunk of a year to do.
Something like that would.
It'll take time, but I think that's a good investment, though, for her into prolonging that prop. Because
We all think that. I would love to see all of these actors, continue to just keep making these movies up until they no longer fit the role.
Physically can't anymore.
Yeah, exactly. But we all just know that at some point, look at Robert Downey Jr. almost, didn't want to do Iron Man anymore because he was tired of doing Iron Man. When you're only doing that property for so long, you can get tired of it.
Chews up a lot of time.
Filming
time too. Like the
you're traveling to different countries.
The promotion for it promoting is ridiculous. It. Yeah. But
I would love to see a single movie of hers, at least something that maybe explores her backstory a bit. Just something that is more on the end of her version of the spy stuff.
Yeah. Like I said, she's amazing in that movie.
Yeah, because you have
and
that.
Really, like, gives it, again, those two, Sam Jackson and Scarlett Johansson, they get layers to their character that they haven't gotten before. And that one, hopefully, they get again at some point, which I feel like they will. Probably not this movie, because I feel like there's too much going on.
Civil War.
Yeah. But
Civil War is less of a building characters movie versus
this is
expanding.
A
yeah, it's like yeah, expanding
is,
the universe in a way.
This
like,
is the more and more
or shortening it up a little bit too, or tightening up a little bit.
I think it's
like,
more expanding it really.
Yeah, the more and more I see commercials for this thing is as the more and more I think like this should have been the Avengers 2.
Oh, for sure. Brothers literally going Joss Whedon.
I mean, it's just missing
what we do,
Thor,
son.
That's it. It's really in Hulk, yeah. So you put those two characters into it.
A-Hulk, the Green Hulk.
Right?
Sorry,
right?
I'll
wink,
go
wink,
over
nudge,
a
nudge.
That was a really obvious bad wink that you can't hear.
It was for us.
Yeah.
That's
I just wanted
that's
to
why I said wink, wink.
Hey,
nudge, nudge.
Audio, if I wanted them to hear the wink, I'm going to wink.
Wink.
Wink. So you wink into the mic, they can hear it.
He's got a really loud wink.
His wink
it's
makes
so
the sound
weird.
Sounds like wink. It's fucking weird.
Is that where they got it from?
He is a fat wizard. Go ahead.
He is a fat wizard.
But that's all I'm saying. Is like the more and more I see of it, the more and more I'm like, well, this should have been Avengers 2. Like this is what, why did the, cool, Ultron was cool, but like this drives a different story more.
It also looks
almost
like
a better story.
It's funny to say because like, as the two of you know, and some people who obviously listen to this know, my number one gripe is the fact they kill a brand new character in Age of Ultron. And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I know they're not going to kill anybody new in Civil War, but I know they're going to kill some buddies
somebody
in Civil War. Like, there's at least two deaths we can guess. Like, not who. And well, one of them we can guess who, because if they don't do that ending, it seems to not really be Civil War as much. I mean, it would because they're, the team's fighting against each other. But there's got to be another death in there somewhere. That literally does it. I just don't know.
It's got to be the titular character. It has to be.
Well, no. Like not to bring them all together, but to bring that force on each other. Like something. Someone
oh,
has
you're talking
to die
about, like,
in a way.
The beginning
yeah.
of it. You're talking
yeah.
about okay.
Yep. To, that
well,
makes that that.
I always thought that it would be the more because Civil War was more about him, Tony and Captain America not getting along with the fact that the government wanted to. Register all people with superheroes. In the comic book, it was all people with powers because of the X-Men in there. Now, were they still going with Miracles?
Miracles is what they called. Yeah,
yeah, they're still going with Miracles. Yeah.
Scarlet Witch is still Miracles.
I'm a little questionable on it just because they didn't really mention it that much in the Avengers too.
They made more of a joke of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I don't think that it necessarily has to go with the death. It just really has to go with a hard line.
I don't think a character. I'm saying there is death that causes the breach to happen, like reason. But yeah, the whole thing is in this version of it versus a guy named Nitro blowing up next to a school full of kids.
Yeah, there's going to be ancillary character death that will drive home the fact that one side says we have to all be registered and the other side says, well, no, that violates privacy and stuff like that.
Well, the other thing too is it's Cap's point in this, I think, is the fact that he doesn't want to be a government weapon.
Yeah, but that
because
that drives into the section
that drives
of like
the split in the group.
Yeah.
Because Tony says we need boundaries, mm-hmm. and Cap's like, it's not boundaries that I'm worried about. It's the fact that we're the tip of the arrow.
Yeah.
And they're going to use us to then fight their wars the way they want us to. And if we don't do it, we can't do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know yet. We haven't seen it. It's fantastic. That's the way I think it works out differently than in the comic. Cause in the comic, they want the registration. So they, you know, the government pays for any issues, blah, blah, blah. Which is the same thing, but he doesn't like that fact that he's being he'll be directed to, you can't fight these guys, you have to fight these guys.
Yeah.
So, All right. Captain America, Winter Soldier, my number two.
Word.
Michael, what's yours?
My number two is The Incredibles.
Very nice.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah. So excited about it. Good thing it was number two on your list.
Yep. No, the, because I rewatched it again recently, and it's so well written and directed, and they do. I don't know if the fact that it's animated gives it extra, like, everyone's on the same page. Obviously, you know what I mean, like, because it's mainly the director's vision at that point, and it kind of helps because, like, I think the character development in it and the story arc and like the. Like there's a mess, like an actual message too. That's multiple, but it's there. The action is fantastic for an animated feature. Like it's kind of right where you want it to be. Mm-hmm. It's unique enough because it's not like obviously all the characters are somebody you can link up to like a Marvel or a DC character,
right?
But every Marvel and DC character can link up to the other almost, side at some point, you know, too. So it's got your classic. Your favorite superheroes are in it, whether it's them or not. Like your favorite superheroes in it,
Iceman or
or the Flash or you know
Plastic Man or
exactly Elastigirl.
I was gonna say
Mr. Fantastic, Mr.
Fantastic but no, yeah,
Plastic
yeah.
Man.
Plastic Man would be it because she was sarcastic fucking weirdo.
Yeah, my favorite. Part of it is the obviously the humor is fantastic because it's being made primarily for kids,
a shell of a kids movie.
Yeah, like it's kind of a Trojan horse though. Like a lot of those, you know what I mean. Yeah. Like in the vein of like so like Inside Out is not a kids movie. You know what I mean? That one's for adults that's been through life a little bit and you know to kind of. Help put things in perspective.
It's just kind of colorful really weird. Characters that kids will go, oh, it's funny.
Yeah, but it still appeals really well to kids, and I think kids who get the luxury of watching that as a kid will get to look back on it in 10 years and be like, holy shit, this movie's really important to me. You know what I mean? But same thing with The Incredibles. I feel like kids who are lucky enough to watch it as a kid can watch it and enjoy it because it's funny and it's fast paced and it's got a lot of cool action in it. They can go back in 10, 15 years when they're an adult and be like, holy shit, this movie is still amazing. Mm-hmm. Like it's still fantastic. And then just my favorite, I think one of the things too is like certain parts to me anyway, like my favorite movies always have like certain parts to it that stand out that are subtle but fantastic, like real subtle but super fantastic parts. And there's two parts in The Incredibles that always sticks with me as they're just perfectly done. The first one is when the kid is running away on the island and he runs off the land onto the water and he's running on water and he looks down and he realizes what he's doing and he just laughs and then takes off faster. Fantastic. Like, cause it's perfect. Cause it's telling you so much that like, holy shit, this kid's much better than even he thought he was, you know, and he didn't know he could do that. And he just realized it. And also he's still a kid and he's still super amused by the fact that he could do cool shit.
Yeah.
And then the other part is, when at the very end, when the bad guy says, everyone will be super. And when everyone's super, nobody's super. And you're like that villain, I feel like because you always want your villain to have sympathy. And I feel like that villain had the most sympathy in any superhero movie I've ever watched.
Yeah. So he started out as he wanted to be a sidekick and
Yeah.
It just, he didn't have the powers or anything, so he was put off to the side. And
he's also not very good at what he was doing anyways.
Yeah, but he slowly became the evil genius.
But that was like the comedy, you know, oh, this goofball. But when you watch it, you know, and you realize like this dude just wanted to be accepted by his hero, basically. Mm-hmm. And he ends up, like, if it wasn't for the family, he would have beaten him.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's the other key to it, too. And just the line that is when everybody's super, then nobody's super. Like, his kind of ideal is not to have anybody ever feel the way he felt again, which is kind of good, but he's just going in the wrong way.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's an amazing movie.
The thing that sticks with me most about that movie is the early storyline, where you don't really see in a lot of superhero movies what they do after the fact.
After, if they're not superheroes.
Yeah, if they're not superheroes, because in this movie, they there were no more villains.
No, not really.
Not really.
But no, the whole premise was they... it was kind of like the Civil War thing, where they wanted them to, register as superheroes. And if they didn't, they couldn't be superheroes anymore. Yeah. So there were still villains and superheroes, but they were government registered, and he didn't want to do that. So they just wouldn't let him, so they had to move him, because every time he tried to be a superhero, they'd cause tons of damage and they had to pay for it.
Yeah, but it was just hilarious to see him in his day-to-day life. He hated what he was doing, but he would also, like, you know, not realize still how powerful he was, and then go pull the door off of his car. And then he fits into that little tiny thing. It's just fucking hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of got the vibe, too. Like that's what pro athletes go through when they're not able to be a pro athlete anymore. To, like, real world. Like, could you imagine, like, whoever your favorite, you know, football player ever is. Like, somebody, a giant like Jerome Bettis, was, like, Super Bowl hero, playoff hero, you know, future Hall of Fame running back, just this giant dude. Like, what does he do in normal life after that? You know what I mean? Like,
the thought of just like, well, I gotta go get groceries today,
and then
walk goes
like
down.
What do you do when you get that adrenaline rush of having, you know, 70,000 people cheer for you, or on the opposite end, silencing 70,000 people, mm-hmm. and having that kind of power, you know, to affect that many people with what you do, and then just
have it taken away.
Have it go away, just usually because of Father Time, and you're just kind of done eventually, and then you never really get that again. Like, that's got to suck a little bit, you know?
Right.
Because then a crazy ex-fan will come and trick you into coming and playing in a death league. Sorry.
Was that Space Jam that you were talking
about? No. Essentially the Incredibles. Joseph. What's your number one?
My number one. The Dark Knight.
Okay.
Does anything have to be explained? Like, everybody's agreed, right? That's the best superhero movie ever?
It's not what I picked.
What I picked either.
Then both of you are stupid. Because that movie...
Wow. Okay.
Fair enough.
You liked Captain America so much, you said it was the most perfect comic book movie ever. I would say that The Dark Knight was, because of...
I said Captain America was the second best superhero movie, but you are correct what I said. Captain America, Winter Soldier is the best comic book movie ever made. Yes, I did say that.
Oh, snap.
Ooh. No, I would say The Dark Knight, because the way it captures the characters within the real world. Like, you know, and Heath Ledger is the second best Joker ever.
No, he's the best.
He's the best Joker ever.
But are you saying Mark Hamill? I'm counting Mark Hamill.
No, they're different Jokers. But if you said, hey, what's your favorite? I would go Heath Ledger, because that Joker's fucking terrifying.
Well, the only problem with doing that is Mark Hamill has different Jokers too, so it's hard to.
I'm just talking about Jokers as a whole. Like, you include the Romero, you include the Nicholson, you include the Hamill.
I will still say Heath Ledger's my favorite Joker.
Okay, I'm with you. Yeah, Hamill.
Hamill's fantastic.
I think after this new one comes out, The Killing Joke comes out, I think more people are going to lean towards Mark Hamill too. Mm-hmm. But no, like it's kind of like 1A, 1B at that point.
Like, they're different Jokers. I mean, if I were to say, like, but I like that.
If you want to split it into like a movie versus.
Well, not even that. Like, that like, if, to me, that his Joker is more terrifying than Mark Hamill's. Mark Hamill's is menacing and pretty rough, and obviously something like Killing Joke is knowing what Killing Joke is.
He's going to give him more of an edge that he's never been able to play
with
before.
Yeah, he's going to be able to like voice the penultimate one. So yes, if that comes out and they do it as well as the book is, that'll definitely tip scales, because that fucking Joker's terrifying too. Like, that dude, spoiler, gut shots fucking Barbara Gordon. And then presumably strips her down, maybe not rapes her. We'll see what happens. You know, never been really said. And then flaunts it in front of her father's face. Literally mentally and physically torturing that fucking guy. Like, not only did I cripple your daughter, maybe kill her. We don't know yet in this story, in this concept of that story. But then I show you degrading naked pictures of your daughter while you're strapped in your whitey tighties in a fucking roller coaster being poked by these little crazy people. Have fun. You know, it's like, that's so fucked up.
Yeah, I think we could revisit this exact conversation after we watch that.
Yeah.
And see if, because like I said, Mark Hamill hasn't been able to play with any type of edge yet to any of his characters, and still has made him fairly menacing, you know?
Oh, yeah, don't get me wrong. He's definitely there.
While having to do it basically for kids. So,
but I like think that's... The Heath Ledger's Christopher Nolan's Joker... So played by Heath Ledger, he's so that terrifying because he does not give shits.
Right.
And Mark Hamill's Joker, Bruce Timm's Joker, he's really saying the Timverse, he has that line where it seems like he does, like, there's a line he dances around, but Heath Ledger's is like,
well, yeah, there's no line. That's a difference between a cartoon and what you can put into the movies.
Obviously, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You can't put the cartoon version of the Joker just sitting there capping people randomly, but... That's pretty much what they did in Nolan's Joker. And that's what made him so terrifying, is that he could literally do anything that he wanted at any given time. I mean, he had all that fucking money. What did he do with it? He literally burned it.
Yeah.
You know,
because he doesn't care.
Yeah. And for me, it was the ultimate light versus dark.
For sure.
Of any comic book movie ever. Because Well, but I mean, like, in any other comic book movie or any other superhero movie, the ultimate villain always has some sort of goal.
Yeah. And that's well...
The Joker didn't in this movie.
He said
his stuff was to create chaos, but I mean, like, there's no...
his one goal is there to was get no, Batman to kill.
But there was no, like, monetary thing.
Yeah,
there's
no, not at all. There was that's no what's nothing terrifying. Like...
Yeah. And that... Yeah, he... Well, yeah, at the end, he wanted him to break his one rule, which was to kill somebody. But I would still say, just in evil plot sort of way, you know, he wasn't trying to take over the world. He wasn't trying to become a new mob boss. He wasn't trying to do any of this shit. He was literally just a crazy person killing people.
Because he enjoyed it.
Because he enjoyed it. And it was just the fucked up ways that he could come up with in killing people. I mean, hell, the fucking cell phone the henchman. And fucking terrifying.
With the bomb.
Right? But it was just, and it's just the little performances in it. Heath Ledger did an amazing job, especially just shutting up the critics, saying that, oh, he can't do the Joker, you know?
Yeah. Which is hopefully what happens with Jared Leto's.
And,
Why are people, I don't know.
But I also have to say that Aaron Eckhart did an amazing job also as Harvey Dent.
Yeah.
Slash Two-Face. I mean,
when he loses his mind, he's so good.
It's only what a 2-hour movie ish, but you
only get Two-Face for like what last 45 minutes.
Yeah, but
not even that, I don't think.
But you can see his going from a super good guy and his slow degradation into something that he absolutely despises.
I really wish he was in the third one too.
I wish both of them in the third one, but maybe that's because one of them, dude. Well, technically, the one that was dead wasn't dead, but the one that was dead wasn't dead.
Ew. You just
Aflacked me.
You
Aflacked me.
Did I Aflack you?
It pays to get hurt, but it doesn't hurt to get miss work or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, that's my most perfect movie. It's a movie I can watch over and over again, and the way it ends, I don't know about you guys, but I always get that, like, you know, when Gary Oldman's doing the monologue over
Bruce Wayne Batman running away,
you know, explaining how Batman has to exist. It's gives you like the goosebumps. It's like, oh, that's so awesome.
Not just how he exists, but why he has to do what he has to do.
Yeah. And how people have to hate him, and how we have, you know, how the Gotham PD has to. Yeah.
He needs to save Harvey Dent's legacy.
Reputation, yeah.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. And it would have been, I mean, we've said this before, it would have been amazing to see what would have happened differently
had
if
Heath
certain
Ledger,
people not
died
in real life.
I still maintain that had Heath Ledger been available to do the third, or saying available seems weird, had been alive and able to do the third, I think that whole movie would have been way different.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like, no,
for
sure.
You know what I mean? I don't think there's a Bane. I think it's more of a continuation of two than anything else.
I think his original plan had Bane.
I don't think.
But it still would
have been focused on
and it may
Bane
not
in
have
way,
included
way.
Talia al Ghul type of thing.
I don't. Yeah, I think. And I, man, like I said, there's somewhere out there.
Basically, what I want to do is I want to kidnap Christopher Nolan
and just have him.
And
tell
I
us
want
to
waterboard
story.
Him. Tells me what happened because he
we
never.
Kidnap him, he might just tell us. I don't think we have to waterboard him at that point.
I meant kidnap.
It's a little extreme.
He said waterboarding.
No,
I didn't.
He said it out of my mouth.
This is my voice. No, that's...
He tricked me. He said, say this word out loud, and then he caught me right as I was finishing my statement, and so I said waterboard him.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. No.
Maybe we don't need to waterboard him.
I think the script's got to be written somewhere, right? Like
he's on his computer.
Oh, yeah.
How much money would you pay for that if they released it?
I don't think there's enough money for me to do that because he's so adamant on never having that come to light. Like, he's so...
No, I'm just saying, like if he ever was like, hey, enough time has passed...
I would sell both of you into whatever kind of sex slave I'd have to get...
But realistically, if that book came out wide release, just, you know, a regular book, just his script...
Hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, dude. Like...
Ooh, that'd be awesome. We printed
1,000 of these.
Oh. They would get too expensive for me, though.
Yeah, that would.
Point.
Yeah. Super limited edition.
Yeah. But, like, had it been wide released, you know, everyone's available easily. Like, it's not sold out anywhere. It's still worth $100.
Oh,
easy yeah. buy. You know what I mean? Just to, God damn it. That's going to be one of the things that bugs me forever is just what was his,
how
good of a jump from one to two.
On his deathbed, he goes, Inception was the third movie.
Bruce has just been dreaming it this whole time.
Yep, Leonardo DiCaprio's his version of himself in his dream. But really, the team is his version of himself in the dreams. So, like, those are different parts of him. You got the muscle with Tom Hardy, which is weird because he's Bane. You got the little girl who's the scared little genius behind the architecture. You have Robin, who is, you know, running around there being like the man of all
who
trades.
Who is also in...
Yep.
All inside of a snow globe in the imagination of an autistic kid
in the middle of
who
General
was
Hospital.
Who was in the middle of a dream by whatever his name was.
Which one? You have to finish that portion of it.
Fuck, what is his name?
I don't know. Cody, what's your number one?
Yeah, I can't think of it right now.
You're talking about the guy from Dallas?
Yeah, because it was all another, it was a dream sequence.
Not JR.
Yeah, see, I can't remember.
Yeah, the guy that was in Step by Step.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Not the wife beater, the other
no,
one.
No, yeah.
Nah. My number one
not
of my
Cody.
Top. Yeah, not Cody. The fictional one, not the real one that's on this show. My number one top superhero movie is The Incredibles.
Wow. All right.
It is mainly because the whole, I mean, obviously, they're all superheroes. Well, not all superheroes, obviously. Syndrome is not a superhero, but it's like the it to me it's the penultimate superhero because you have like all the different facets of it. But it does, like Mike said, it shows you what would happen to Superman if he wasn't allowed to be super. If they say, "Hey, no more being Superman, you can't do it anymore," what is he gonna do? Like, it's taken away from him. It's not the fact that he got too old to play football. It's like in the middle of his prime. They're like, "Yo, you can't play football anymore. You're too good. These people are getting hurt because of you. You stop. And if you don't stop, you're going to owe us money. And then we're going to tell everyone who you are in real life. And you can't be your normal person." But I do like what Mike said. It's got the lessons you learn. But it's all around a fun movie. But it's also super dope just to like see the battles. Like Mike was saying, like, yeah, it's animated. So it has this like this kind of weird kind of... aesthetic to it in a way. Like, yeah, it's animated, but like they really went beyond what you'd expect out of an animated movie. Not that, I mean, obviously animated movies, you can do anything the fuck you want because it's animated and the limitations are what your mind can think up. But it's just like that fun, like, in a way, parodying superhero movies, but like in a, like, an homage way as well. Because you have everything from every element. You have a Superman, you have an Iceman, you have parts of the Fantastic Four and that. And then you have like one of my favorite things about Robert Kirkman's Invincible is you have the guy who makes their super suits. So you have that like thrown in there too. Like, just how do these, like, where would someone get a super suit? Oh, it's made by this crazy lady who thinks up stuff that you should be able to do. You know what I mean? So it's just all around fun, but it's just like super awesome to watch because you have, you know, this family who just wants to be superheroes and they're super awesome at it once they kind of let go. But I do like Mike's the thing about like the two things that stick out. Mine are the two parts where they join as a family at the end and they fight with Frozone together too. Like they fight him, like the big crazy attack ball thing. Then also on the island, not just Dash learning he can run over water, but all of them kind of exploring what they could do and knowing that, like, Mr. Incredible and Mrs. Incredible, Elastigirl, they know what they can do, and then watching the kids figure it out on their own. And, of course, the third thing would be going home to see Syndrome trying to kidnap Jack-Jack, and then him fucking changing all the powers, and he's like, what the is, oh my, and then he's like turning a little metal monster, and then like
turned into a goblin thing.
Goblin bleeds fire, and then like he turns into this metal creature that makes him weigh down, and like it's just hilarious to me because they did such a good job of like mixing all these different things, like the like really all of it's it was genre very Marvel bending, but really. Genre bending, because you have that like spy portion of it when he's brought to the island for the first time, all suave, and it's like 007-ish, and then he's like allowed to use his powers like as much, like go for it, like do what you need to, use your powers to the full.
I'm calling it now that one of the movies I'm going to be most excited for of all time is going to be in about 30, 40 years when they decide to remake that live action.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Because it's going to happen. It might not even take that long.
It sounds weird to me.
30 years?
Well, think about fucking Jungle Book. 20 years ago saying you're going to make a live good, action. Good live action one.
Yeah. Terrific action one, really.
Yeah.
You know what? Speaking of that, not before we skip to go to Mike's number one, but
Of Jungle Book. Quick, mine was
Dark Knight?
No, Winter Soldier.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah. Cool.
So we already talked about it, but...
So in...
disappointed in you too.
No.
Why though? But, okay, real quick, just because I did say it. Winter Soldier, we said, I love... Incredibles because genre bending, that's one of the biggest things that stick out to me with Winter Soldier is it's again, it's a comic book movie, it's a superhero movie, it's a spy movie, it's just a regular action thriller. It's got amazing performances top to bottom. I mean, we didn't even talk about Robert Redford. Like,
you know, we said it before, like
fucking
10 years ago, if you told me Robert Redford was going to be in a comic movie,
told me that Robert Redford's last line in a movie was Hell Hydra 10 years ago, I'd have said, you're fucking out of your mind. There's no way you're going to get fucking homeboy.
Goddamn natural.
To say one of the nerdiest fucking things in comic book history. But that's why I love it. And I think it's perfectly written. I do think The Incredibles has the edge in terms of like just the story and the emotional, you know, appeal to it and like the lessons and whatnot. But I think everything else, Civil War is just as good as The Incredibles, just a notch up, like the action and it being live action, I think gave me the nod that it was able to do what it did and look amazing. You know what I mean? Like how big it doesn't, It's huge, you know, like the scale of it is epic.
But it also feels very
But it
small.
Feels like you're just watching, you know, two or three characters the whole time. But they're placed in this giant backdrop where there's so much shit is going on, but nothing, no detail gets lost, really. So.
And it also sends ripples through what they've already built as a huge cinematic universe, too.
Yeah, and it's as much as Iron Man was kind of the starting point for everything Marvel for all time. This I kind of felt like was was an ending in a way and branched off a whole new line of areas that you could go. And it was just kind of like, obviously not a starting point, but kind of like the point where it resets and says, okay, well, this is what we're capable
it.
Now.
It starts like, to kind of kick well, into the more like gritty. Overarching story that they're going.
Yeah, it's through. Also because you got to remember that was the beginning of phase two, just like yeah, Civil exactly. War is the beginning of phase three. So like it's the Iron Man of the team up movies for sure, because it is, yes, it's changing forever what the way we look at Captain America. Because really, if you look back, even before Captain America 1 came out, Captain America was kind of a jokish kind of character, because like, man, like, the way he looks. The horrible
movies.
Yeah, the horrible movies, the bad interpretations of it.
You're calling the 1990? 1990
they're,
version.
Yeah, they're garbage. And the TV show.
And the TV show is god-awful.
So that looked like hot garbage.
Yeah. But like, you look at it and you're like, Captain America Winter Soldier did for comic book movies what Iron Man did for Marvel comic book movies. It just set a new standard, and ever since then, other than the few hiccups that Avengers Age of Ultron had in it, still made you think like, oh, you know what, it makes you rethink what you thought a comic book movie could be and a superhero movie could be, because it did throw a lot of it on its head because of that genre bending aspect. It's a spy movie, it's an espionage movie, it's a superhero movie, it's a military, you know, movie. It's a conspiracy movie. It's all these things.
A movie. It also kind of deals with PTSD too. Like Cap doesn't know, you know, he's out of his own time. He's trying to find out where he fits in. He's trying to find out if he likes what he's doing, or if he's just doing it out of pure necessity. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of things he's dealing with. That you know that he's being tugged in a million different ways mentally, and it just adds again that another layer to it that makes it interesting and lets my favorite movies now are movies that let actors act. You know what I mean? Like let the talent do their thing and flex their muscles a little bit and see what they could do. And in this one, just like Iron Man 3, where Robert Downey Jr. got to do his thing and, you know, be charming but vulnerable, and then, you know, an action hero and but badass, you know what I mean, all at the same in the same movie, Chris Evans gets to try to figure out his love life. He tries to figure out what he has in this world that he could attach to, you know, trying to deal with the loss. I mean, the scene where he's talking to
Peggy,
it's fucking heartbreaking. Like, it's one of the most emotional scenes in all the Marvel movies.
When she pops and forgets he was there.
Yeah, and without them telling you, oh, she has amnesia and she's sick, and like setting it up on a tee for you and just insulting the intelligence of the audience goers, which tons of movies do, even some Marvel movies do at certain points because it's just easier. They set up that whole scene, they let it ride. Like, it's a pretty long scene. And they let you get emotionally invested in it. And then they hit you with like, oh, she's losing her shit and he's got to be right here to help her. And it's fucking sad as shit. So the romantic movie.
And you got too. The conspiracy portion of it. Oh,
yeah.
The movie.
The War Games fucking plug. How cool was that? It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, The Jungle Book. What I was saying about that before. Rudely interrupted by Mike. No. I know Mike and I were talking about it the week after we saw it, and I said, like, it'd be cool to see live-action versions of a lot of those movies. Like, I made the fact that, like, seeing a live-action version of Sword in the Stone would be super dope. Seeing a live-action version of, like, Aladdin would be super dope. Mm-hmm. Only bad thing about Aladdin is, like, if you can't get someone to be Robin Williams, don't fucking do it.
Man.
I'm sorry, Robin Williams has made Genie the fucking coolest fucking character, and if you can't redo that, I don't want it.
Well, he stole the show, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, it's called Aladdin, but really, people wouldn't stop for Genie.
Right.
And Abu. Because Abu's hilarious. And Iago, because Iago's hilarious, too. I'm molting over here!
I'm so ticked off, I'm molting.
It's fantastic.
Basically, everyone but Aladdin.
Yeah, I'll give you that. You can... It's no hold.
That's
hard.
What they should have called it. Is everyone but
Aladdin.
Aladdin.
Yeah, it's really yeah. Even Magic Carpet was
his friends up. And Aladdin.
It's like, it shouldn't be Aladdin his friends. Nope. Nah.
Wait till you see the movie.
Wait till you see this. Even Jasmine was more entertaining. But seeing that, like, made me think, like, yo, Disney, you are, like, I think we're on the cusp of it. Like, yes, live-action Cinderella, I still haven't watched it. I heard it was good, but it's like, do it. But like, with the Jungle Book, I was, like, going into it, I was thinking it's the one that, Kenneth Branagh did.
I'm trying, oh, no, I'm thinking of what was the one where she ends up in New York?
Enchanted?
Enchanted, yeah.
That's also Disney, but...
No, like, I was trying to think if I saw Cinderella.
But there's been, like,
reboots. But no, I've seen Enchanted.
Well, what I'm saying is there...
But I want the actual animated movie to be remade. But
that's what I'm saying. They yeah.
Not
like,
a weird twist on it.
You yeah, know? Like, no, not I know. Seeing I'm... Cinderella, I don't know if it follows the Cinderella animated movie.
Right. Duskus wasn't in it. I don't want nothing
yeah,
to do
what
it
means.
With
like,
it.
I don't know if they kept the you know, singing mice and that stuff. So going into Jungle Book before have knowing it, like knowing like did they skew it? You know, did they change away from the formula? But not having seen Jungle Book, the animated movie, in a long, long time, it made me remember beats from that movie in it. Like they literally said, "Fuck it, guys, we don't need a script. We literally don't need a script. We have one.
No,
just make this live action. Find a kid and animate
twist
the
it
shit
up a little
you know?
Bit. Make it."
A little, know, like, I mean, really, it didn't twist it up a whole lot, though.
Well, not I'm just saying, like, remember. The dialogue. Like,
well, yeah, make it a little, yeah, make it a little more, I mean? Let, you know.
They included, because I don't recall the wolves really.
The wolves are in it.
In, really that much.
Oh, maybe not.
No, they're a much bigger role.
In this one. Because
they couldn't expand on
they
it.
They made the jungle more realistic in this one.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They made it, but they didn't skew the story. They didn't be like, oh, Mowgli is blah this, and Mowgli is that, and blah, blah, blah. You know, like they do a lot of times with that.
Right.
So what I was saying is, not have seen the newer Cinderella, I don't know if they changed enough of that to make it the magic that was captured in the original animated one with Gus and the other mice. Like, I don't think that was in it, because I don't think that
don't
was part
think
of
it.
It.
Was in, I want to say I've seen it, but I can't remember it fully enough. Like, it didn't stick with me enough, but I do remember.
It was only a few years ago.
But I remember that... Yeah, the mice weren't as animated as they were in the original cartoon, meaning that they didn't have that personality traits that
they were just mice.
They were mice. They could talk, but it wasn't, you know, Goose. It wasn't.
I don't know if that was. I don't think they're in it. But I haven't seen that one, so I don't know. But that's what I was worried about. Is like, did they change enough of it not to be the Jungle Book we loved? And I think I said that to you when we were driving. If they were to remake Robin Hood, the Disney one, I don't want them to do live action. I want them to let Pixar do it, or let the animation studio Disney now has that we know can make blockbuster fucking CG movies, you know, Big Hero 6, Wreck-It Ralph, Enchanted, Frozen, those ones. Zootopia, obviously. That's what made me think of it, because like Zootopia, you have a fox.
He's basically a modern day.
You have a rabbit.
Yeah.
There was a hippo. Fuckers. But yeah, no, I want to see that. Like, I want to see them take a shot at it and be like, yo, we got a story for you. But then I was thinking about it. What was if they redid, like, Bedknobs and Broomsticks and Chitty Chitty Bang? I know it's not Disney for all these, but Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Those ones where it was, like, that mix between live action and animation. Poppins. Like Mary Poppins. And redo it that way, but with actual animation. And do, I mean, obviously CG, you're not going to do hand-drawn, because at this point it's not going to be as fast as CG would be. You could do CG hand-drawn, like through the, like that flat 2D, but I want that 3D-ish feel to it. Like a Roger Rabbit done, like, with the real world type feel to it, you know? It'd be super dope.
I do recall seeing this movie now that I'm looking through the images of it. I did see it. It was actually, it was pretty good. It hit, it was pretty close to at least what I know of the story in the original cartoon.
Yeah,
you know, but like I said, obviously they just didn't do the whole, you know, the mice and stuff didn't have extreme personalities of their own. Obviously they didn't wear hats and stuff like they did in the cartoon series, but
a bow tie. I went on a bow tie, right?
I think so.
The one with the glasses.
But everything was put together well enough that, you know, it was Cinderella. It was really well done.
Is that the one with movie. Julia Roberts?
No, it's not Julia Roberts. It's Cate Blanchett who plays Cinderella.
Mm.
And if
wait, no, that's not the one I'm talking about. The one directed by Kenneth Branagh a couple years ago.
God, why is IMDb not allowing me to close out the fucking?
I will. Yeah, no, I'm not. That's not the one. The one I'm talking about is really recent.
This one was 2015.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't there. It wasn't.
It's Kate Blanchett, Lily James. Oh, Lily James plays Cinderella.
Yeah,
Kate Blanchett plays the stepmother. Sorry.
Yes, yeah, okay, that's
I had
more
that
record.
Flipped around.
Yeah.
I had that flipped around.
Yeah, okay, that's the one. Yeah, 2015, oh, last year. So
yeah,
yeah, Kenneth Branagh directed that one. Yeah, that's the one I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, but I have seen it. It is actually a pretty good movie. It's pretty spot on. Like I said, the acting is really well done. Evil stepmother played by Kate Blanchett was done really
okay,
well.
Yeah, that's the one. Then.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, so
she didn't have three fairy stepmothers or fairy godmothers. I don't know if that's the original story or just the Disney
Helen
version.
Helena Bonham Carter played it in this one, right?
But yeah. But it was just her, and she was fairly funny in the little bit that she did because she was a little bit forgetful and stuff. It was pretty funny.
Like one of them was in the animated one. Yep.
But you know, she still had the mice that turned into the chauffeurs, the pumpkin that turned into the carriage, the what turned into the mice turned into horses.
Wasn't
as
Rob
well.
Stark
no it
the
was the
prince in that one
yeah I think it was
yeah Richard Madden
yeah
it's Rob Stark, because you know me, I call him other characters' names. Yeah, Game of Thrones, Mike, sorry.
I don't know.
Oh, you've seen Rob Stark, you know that much.
Yeah, but no, I thought it was a really good movie. So if you haven't seen it, I would say that you would.
Yeah, I want to see it. It's just one of those ones like we didn't like it's one of those ones we wouldn't go adventure because it's
no, it's not.
Like
it's
a
not
girly movie, you know.
Typically, a movie that we would see, yeah. But I thought it was really well.
But what made me interested in it is Kenneth Branagh was making it, so I was like, well, I mean, I saw Thor, and Thor was dope as balls, and Kenneth Branagh made a sweet ass Shakespeare movie that I like a lot with Keanu Reeves and Denzel Washington. So,
what movie was that? That was a
Much Ado About Nothing.
Much Ado About Nothing. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. Yeah,
we watched it together, so you have seen it. We did a torture theater with it.
Did we?
Yeah, didn't we do that one?
No.
Oh, no, that was the one we had to... That was the Keanu Reeves movies, right?
Yeah, go fuck yourself.
Whoa.
No, because I did a Scanner Darkly.
Yeah, I forgot. It was a different one.
Yeah, I know. A different group of friends.
You should watch that.
No, yeah, different group of friends that you keep remembering, and then you yell at me because I didn't see the movie, but you think I did. Okay, cool. Anyway, moving on.
Not a different friend of friends. It was you guys. It was just I watched it.
Uh-huh.
Anyways. So what my point was... to this whole thing before Joe went on his range and tangent about that.
Oh, no, yeah, yeah. Before Cody almost knew, like, oh, no, you saw it. No, I
calm
I
down, not that. So
I'm
about
just
your
saying.
Kenneth Branagh movie, calm down.
My Kenneth Branagh?
Yeah, so I was worried that it wasn't going to be like it was. So seeing it made me really, like, kind of excited for, like, the Beauty and the Beast one that's coming up with Hermione.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be playing Beauty. And like, so what?
Emma Watson.
Yeah, you know, like I said, Hermione Granger. So, like, it's kind of, like, made me think, like, what else can we get out of them? Like, you guys got a vault literally filled with this shit.
I would like to see...
What else can we get?
Sleeping Beauty, especially done in, like, the original...
Scary
type of Disney that they had back then.
Yeah, like, that's what I mean. It's, like, stay true to the animated ones. Like, you just get a live action
no,
version.
No, I know.
You know what I mean?
I'm
that's
saying,
what I want.
Like,
I don't want them to, like,
nerf
ball it or whatever, you know?
No,
I mean?
I'm just saying, like, of anything that I would want to see, like, that image of
Maleficent. On the, like, dragon?
Yeah.
Oh,
stop with the fucking Maleficent crap that you're seeing today.
Yeah, the garbage.
Yeah, and just
what they're making a sequel for.
Yeah, and just get back to the actual story.
Women. Yeah, well, it's because the women love that movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just, okay.
They wanted a sequel for some reason.
Just...
Like anyway. Huntsman, because that needed a sequel,
pre-sequel. Yep.
So yeah, no, that's exciting. To me, we ran out of time for our predictions for Captain America,
so we'll just spoil it for you next episode.
Yeah. So join us next week. The same comes naturally time, same comes naturally channel, and we will ruin Civil War for you.
Yeah.
By then, all of us will have seen it.
The show.
Because Joe will see it on Sunday, this coming Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 days from now when you're listening to this, if you're downloading on Friday. Mike and I will see it Thursday night and texted spoilers back and forth to Joe and
with
Taj.
A couple fake ones and like one or two real ones.
Yeah. So you got to figure out which one's which, Joe.
Oh, that's a game I'm so not going to play.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. I can't believe it's the kill Spider-Man. but they brought him back with the Lazarus Pit. See, I did that. What I did is I mixed them. Anyways.
Yeah, you did.
So, yeah, anybody else got anything?
Nope.
All right, so we'll do this real quick. If you had to give it a 10-star rating, 1 to 10, what do you think, Michael, I'll go to Joe next. What would you predict you're going to give Civil War?
8.5.
Joseph.
I mean, I could easily see giving it a 10. I can easily see giving it a 10.
I get worried when everybody uniformly loves the movie.
It is now not uniformly loved, though. There are some real, I say air quotes, real critics that have not given it a really high score.
I just feel like sometimes there's certain movies that are either A, cool to fucking love, or cool to hate on. You know what I mean?
The one thing I have been seeing, I haven't read any reviews because I'm trying to go in without that, you know? I've even tried not to watch clips, but some of them I just can't not watch. But some people are saying it's the best summer blockbuster movie, and I'm like, is it just that, though, or is it just because it's in that time slot? Like, it's the first real summer blockbuster, you know, that's coming out. So it's like, but like, I've seen a lot of people saying that it's what they wanted after Winter Soldier. Like, Winter Soldier set a certain template, and this needed to make that or break that, but not underdo that. You know what I mean? So I'm kind of like, I'm excited. I myself am borderline 9.5, maybe 10 is what I'm expecting. So we'll give our re-ratings next week when you join us again on Comes Naturally. We are
Joe,
Mike,
I am Cody, and as usual, you guys just came naturally.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.